25 years ago, the federal employee retirement system superseded the civil servant retirement system. FERS replaced CSRS. And in the years since, how has FERS served federal workers? Well, as part of our special series, FERS 25 Years Later, we turn to Arthur Stein, a financial planner in Bethesda, for the answer. Good morning, Mr. Stein.
Hi, Emily. Hi, Tom.
So let's take a look back in time. First of all, 25 years ago, what were the circumstances that led to FERS?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say happy birthday, FERS, and I hope there will be cake.
Do you want to sing?
Yeah. No, you don't want me to sing. That would not be good. 25 years ago, I think the federal government was looking at the cost of the CSRS retirement system, and it was extremely generous, very expensive, and they were also looking at what was going on in the private sector, which was, and in state and local governments too, which were downsizing their retirement systems to something less expensive and more affordable. So they came up with FERS, which is probably the second best retirement system in the United States, the best one being CSRS or CSRS. And what makes FERS so great is that you have a great pension, which is the federal government calls your annuity. You've got Social Security, the Thrift Savings Plan with a 5% match. Of course, you've also got subsidized health insurance and a relatively high level of job stability. And this is just a very powerful, excellent package. And most people in the United States, if they understood, you know, what was going on, would be, you know, extremely jealous of the benefits that FERS employees have. But it is a system that, unlike the older system, most FERS employees at some point during their retirement, if they have a long retirement, are going to need to start taking money out of their investments to subsidize their pension and Social Security. And there are two basic reasons for that. One, the cost of living adjustment is not as generous, does not keep up with inflation if inflation is more than 2%. And, of course, a pension's not going to be as high a percentage of someone's salary as the old system was. So putting money in the thrift savings plan, investing it appropriately, these are really key decisions for all FERS employees.
And just thinking back to 25 years ago, do you recall that when FERS came in to substitute for CSRS, that it was taken as some kind of an assault on federal employees? Was that kind of debate the same thing that we hear now when things change?
Well, it was definitely a downgrading of you know, the system, but it was still a very generous system. So, I'm sure that people at the time thought it was an assault on their benefits, although, you know, existing employees didn't have to switch. You know, it was only really new employees, as I understand it. But it's still a great system, and I don't think people should sit around and worry about, you know, whether it was a downgrade at this point or not. What they need to think about is, hey, I've got a great set of benefits, and if I handle them appropriately, I'm going to have a very comfortable and secure retirement.
And in terms of the health of FERS, now that it's 25 years old, a young adult, I guess, how healthy is the system? I mean, we know that a lot of other retirement systems, public retirement systems, are really struggling.
Yeah, a lot of other systems are really struggling, and that's one of the great advantages of FERS, is you've got the federal government behind it. They can run a budget deficit. You're not hearing anyone say, oh, we're going to run out of money funding FERS, or there's not enough money to pay for the FERS pension. And you are getting those kind of arguments and concerns with state and local governments, which can't run budget deficits. So, again, it's a great system.
And so if you were talking to, say, someone starting out in federal service, someone, say, young, that may not, you know, be thinking really hard about retirement yet, that could be 20, 30, 40 years away, nevertheless, what kind of planning and thinking should they be doing now as they get underway with a career?
Okay, they're looking at really three different decisions. One is how much money to put into the thrift savings plan. which investments, which of the funds to put the money in, and whether to do a Roth TSP for their contributions or to do the regular TSP for their contributions. Now, the first one, in terms of how much to put in, they definitely want to put in at least 5%, because the federal government matches their first 5% of their contributions with 5% of the federal government's money. So it's like doubling your investment automatically right away. So they absolutely want to put in 5%. That means that right away they're getting 10% of their salary going into the TSP. That's a good number to start with. Then they need to decide, you know, which of the funds to invest in. And the younger people, I think, should make sure that they have a healthy dose of their investments in the stock funds, the C fund, the S fund, and the I fund. And finally, they need to decide whether to do a Roth TSP or their regular TSP. And the most important difference is money that goes into the regular TSP that's deducted from someone's salary, that's going to reduce their taxable income. When they withdraw the money, when they're retired many decades later, the money they take out is going to be taxable. They use the Roth TSP for their contributions. The money that they put in the TSP does not reduce their taxable income that year. But years later, when they take their money out, there's no tax on the money they withdraw, which is a huge benefit, but of course very far in the future. I think younger people who probably are lower income to begin with, they get less benefit from the tax deduction. Of course, their money hopefully is going to grow over a very long period of time. I like the Roth TSP for their contributions. Now, the federal government match is always going to be into the regular TSP. So they are, you know, they do have a foot in both worlds. They've hedged their bets a certain amount just by the nature of the way the system is set up. But those are the three decisions, Roth or regular, how much, and which funds.
We're speaking with financial planner Arthur Stein about the FERS system and retirement planning in general. And just very briefly, because you were just speaking about what young people should do, some specific things, but then after you think about all that and you set up your initial plan for retirement, how often do you have to check in?
Well, that's a good question, Emily. And I think you want to check the balance in your accounts at least every year. You know, it's a great thing to do in January when a snowstorm has shut down the city and you're sitting at home. And you want to see if the allocation that you're aiming for, that's the allocation in, you know, your account. Because maybe that you wanted to invest 50% in stocks and 50% in bonds, and maybe stocks had a great year, and all of a sudden you have a higher percentage in the stock funds than you wanted. And if that's the case, then you can easily just get online and switch money between funds. There's no charge to do that. It's not a taxable event. The other thing that people need to be checking is if they're not maxing out their contributions to the TSP, you know, on a regular basis, maybe quarterly or once or twice a year, think about whether you could be increasing your contribution. And, you know, you can go from 5% to 5.5%. I mean, just go ahead and do that. It's really not going to make much of a difference. But if you increase your contribution 0.5% every year, you know, at some point you're going to be maxing out your contributions, and you may not have noticed the yearly changes. It might not have affected your spending and budget and lifestyle that much.
And Arthur, returning to FERS in particular, you know, right now in Congress, it seems like lawmakers are struggling with similar issues as they did 25 years ago when the federal employee retirement system was created. We're hearing a lot of talk in Capitol Hill that perhaps federal employees have it too good. Do you think that FERS or the retirement system could change over, say, the next couple of years, and federal employees really do have to be on the lookout for changes from Capitol Hill? Or is that just sort of political posturing, if you will?
Emily, I think everyone always needs to worry about what's going to happen on Capitol Hill. I mean, you just never know what they're going to do. And, you know, they've already affected, you know, they've canceled raises for years now. And that's a huge effect for federal employees. So it's clearly possible. I think changes in the retirement system are more likely to be for new employees than existing employees, but potentially they could change it for existing employees. Now, one thing they can't change is the money that people have already put into the TSP. That is 100% their money from the day one, and they can never take that back. And, of course, they can't change the various tax breaks, a tax deferral and a tax deduction on contributions that have already been made. But federal employees, you know, seem to be an easy target, and I think people need to be very aware of what's going on Capitol Hill. But I would be very disappointed if they reduce benefits for existing employees, because it seems to me that those employees have been told they're going to get a certain benefit and they should have it. Now, if they change it for new employees, I think that's too bad. I think it's a mistake. But you can't say that it was unfair to the new employees.